Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome, guests and longtime friends. As we worship in the name of God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. My name is Jeff Redman, and I'm a member of the Church Council. Welcome to Zion UCC. We are a faith community that seeks to learn, serve, and grow in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wherever you are in life's journey, you are welcome here. We extend a special welcome to those of you who worship with us through our radio broadcast on KCHK Radio, and all who join us online through our website, zionleesewer.com. If you are visiting Zion today, please sign the guest card found in front of you in the pews and put it in the offering plate so our pastor can connect with you. Finally, fill out prayer requests with your joys and concerns. Turn it into the ushers during passing of the peace. The radio broadcast and bulletins are sponsored by Jeff and Lisa Redman in memory of Vic and Ann Redman. Thank you to all who give to this ministry. The message this morning is titled, Are You the One? By Pastor Sana. Zion Community Summer Fest is Wednesday, July 29th. Plan to attend, bring a friend, enjoy food, music, kids' activities, and shop the indoor home goods sale. 5 to 7 p.m. Menu, burgers, hot dogs, chips, baked beans, dessert, and beverages. Volunteers are needed for Summerfest to help set up at 3:30 and clean up afterwards. A sign-up sheet is on the table in the narthex. In conjunction with the Summerfest, there will be a home goods sale. The market will feature delicious food, unique crafts, beautiful handmade items like custom soaps and candles. If you have a creation that fits the summer vibe, we want to showcase it. Please bring baked goods and craft items to the church no later than 4 p.m., July 29th. Baked goods should be wrapped so they can be priced. Baked goods and craft items can also be dropped off during church office hours. Come help us with Giant Day's parade food collection on Sunday, August 3rd. First Lutheran and Pastor Sam have invited Zion UCC to help collect food and monetary donations for the food shelf during the Giant Days parade. If you are interested in joining Pastor Sana on the parade, please email, call, or sign up in the front office. August is Zion's month at the food shelf. Volunteers are needed to help at the food shelf. Join the fun. There's a sign-up sheet on the table in the narthex. The Leeser Food Shelf is also accepting donations of school supplies for local students. Bring your donation to Zion during the month of August. Your financial support of the radio broadcast in any amount helps keep the worship services available for those who are unable to attend worship in person. Now, let us prepare for worship.
I think it's safe to say that the majority of us who grew up in church were chastised for expressing any inkling of doubt. You know, a lot of us grew up in churches where doubt was treated like a spiritual disease, where asking questions meant something was wrong with you, or your faith, or your commitment, or whatever imaginary scorecard God was supposedly keeping. But here's the thing that nobody bothered to mention in Sunday school. Even John the Baptist had doubts. Yeah, that John, you know, the one who literally pointed to Jesus and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Later in life, he sends messengers to Jesus asking, "Are you actually the one, or basically did I get this wrong?" Which is wild, because if anyone should have been certain, it should have been John. This guy leapt in the womb when Mary walked in. His whole life calling was built around preparing people for Jesus. And yet, when life got hard, when circumstances shifted, when he landed in prison, John did what honest people do. He asked questions. And I love Jesus' response, because Jesus doesn't go, "Seriously? After all that?" Jesus doesn't shame him. He doesn't call his faith weak. He doesn't say, "John, you are such a disappointment. Jesus just answers him calmly, clearly, compassionately. Go tell John what you've seen. And that's it. No guilt trip, no spiritual gaslighting, just presence, just truth. And here's why that matters for us. If John the Baptist, the blueprint of bold faith, can have questions, then you, my friend, are in good company. Your questions don't scare Jesus. Your doubts don't offend him. Your uncertainty doesn't disqualify you. You're not less Christian for wrestling. You're not backsliding because you're thinking. You're not betraying God by being honest about what's going on inside your life. Doubt isn't betrayal. Doubt is honesty. And Jesus always meets honesty with grace. So if you're in a season where your faith feels fuzzy or fragile or unfamiliar, you're not failing. You're human. And Jesus meets you there too. And maybe, just maybe, your questions aren't the end of faith. They might be the doorway into something deeper. So keep asking questions.
So that's the whole service. Amen. No, I'm just kidding. He preached for me, okay? Good morning, Zion. Good morning. May the grace and peace of God be with you this morning. Welcome to worship. One of the gifts of Christian life is that we do not walk alone. We gather with one another to bear each other's burdens, to remind each other of the hope we have in Christ. Let us prepare for worship with 3 deep breaths. May we worship with open hearts, listening for God's voice, and being ready to love our neighbors well. Please rise for the call to worship.
Beloved, we gather to rejoice in God who does wondrous things, who promises that someday all manner of things shall be well.
We rejoice in the truth of that day.
We worship with joy now, confident that God will not stop until all creation is at peace.
We rejoice in the truth of that day.
We lift up our voices in song and story, in prayer and praise, as we remember and rejoice in all that God has done and will do among us.
We rejoice in the truth of that day.
Come, let us worship God with joy, as we work with God toward the day when all of creation lives in everlasting joy.
Come, let us rejoice in the truth of that day. Please join us for the opening hymn, Enter, Rejoice, and Come In, number 73.
Today will be a joyful day.
many people are familiar with that song? Raise your hand. Okay, two. Okay, you were right. All right, please join me for the opening prayer. Holy God of joy, we rejoice in the reality of who you are. We live within the joy of your love for us. Our contentment comes and goes. Our happiness ebbs and flows. Our feeling depends upon our circumstances, our physical health, our brain chemistry. But our joy is deeply rooted in our identity as your beloved children. And we give you thanks. Amen. You may be seated for the next song, number 33, Rejoice, Give Thanks, and Sing. Join me in the prayer of confession. We gather together today praying for peace, attempting to cultivate joy and share love amongst commotion, grief, despair, and uncertainty. God, we confess that we have often placed our hope in people and things that can't fulfill our every need. We have searched for peace in shallow places. We have mistaken joy for temporal pleasure and artificial exhilaration. We have put limits on the ways we love, excluding those who need our loving kindness the most. God, when we have lost our way, show us yours. Guide us to the hope in you that will renew our strength. Lead us to your peace that transcends all understanding. Fill us with a joy we can only experience in your presence. Remind us that you have always loved us with an everlasting love, so that we may share that love with others. Amen. In this season of transition and uncertainty, it is good to know that God's love for us is sure, that God's commitment to us is definite, that God is guiding us as the compassionate companions that we are called to be for each other. Let us live into this gift. Amen. Disciples, peace I leave you, peace I give to you. May the peace of the Lord always be with you.
And also with you.
Let us share the peace with one another. Let us pray. Holy One, we come before you in prayer, first and foremost, to lift our praise to you. We praise you for the world you have created and care for and love. We praise you for creating this community of care and all the people in it. We praise you for the freedom we have to worship you without fear. We are grateful for these gifts you give us, and we praise you. We thank you that we are dry and well-fed today. We know that there are many who are not, many who are afraid and hungry and without homes. And even in the midst of our prayers of gratitude for all we have been given, we acknowledge that those very people, the hungry, the homeless, and those who are wrongfully in prison, those who have been persecuted, they are our responsibility. If we understand ourselves to be your disciples in this world, then those who are hungry need to be fed because you love them too, and you sent us to care for them. Give us the strength, compassion, and energy to work for your kingdom by caring for the lost and least of these. We humbly ask today to be filled again by your Spirit, to be refilled with vision, energy, and commitment. Create in us hearts that understand that your kingdom is not the world we live in now, and that our life goals should be more than a race towards what is best for ourselves, but finding ways to better serve you by serving our siblings near and far. We lift to you those who are grieving today, those who are sick and dying, facing surgery or waiting for tests, for all who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, for those struggling with addiction, fighting to stay sober, for all who yearn for a peace of mind and joyful heart. We also pray for our congregation, for the ministry and witness of Zion UCC, for our life here in worship, where we know ourselves to be stamped as the body of Christ, for our efforts to somehow reflect the welcome of Christ himself in our fellowship, for our yearning to be the hands of Christ in mission and outreach, for the sacred ways in which you move among us, making the ordinary parts of our lives together extraordinary and holy. Wondrous God, in your mercy, inspire us to be extraordinary Christ-like love, so that we can bear the harvest as your field, stand strong with you as our foundation, and be holy as your temple. United as the body of Christ, we lift these prayers to you. Hear us now as we pray the prayer Jesus taught us in the version and language closest to your own hearts, praying, Padre nuestro que estás en los cielos, santificado sea tu nombre. Venga a nosotros tu reino, haz tu voluntad en la tierra como en el cielo. Danos hoy nuestro pan de cada día. Perdona nuestras ofensas como también perdonamos los que nos ofenden. No nos dejas caer en la tentación y líbranos del mal, porque tuyo es el reino y el poder y la gloria para siempre. Amén.
Reading from Psalm 145, verses 8 through 14. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his compassion is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your faithful shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to all people your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and gracious in all his deeds. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. May God add a blessing to the reading and hearing of the Holy Word.
The gospel for today is Matthew 11, 2 to 11. When John heard in prison that the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, those with a skin disease are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet, the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Let us pray. The word of God for the people of God. God, we thank you for your word. We ask that you cause it to enlighten and elucidate. Allow it to germinate in our hearts and let the seed bear fruit in the appropriate season. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, I received an email from a church member in response to one of my weekly email messages. If you don't know, I share in the weekly email my thoughts on transitional ministry. This member wondered if Zion is a Bible-based teaching church who accepts the gays. She said she agreed that we have to love all people, but she insisted we should steer the gays away from their blatant sin. I'm quoting her. Why haven't I done that? She asked what I meant when I preached about the church evolving and changing. Did I mean that the church, meaning you, needed to conform to the ways of the world and accept everyone's sinful lifestyles? Now, I tell you this not to shock or upset you or even to get political, although I believe my identity is inherently political, and stories I share about my life will feel controversial to some. You should know I appreciated and welcome this member's email because, honestly, I don't receive much direct feedback to my weekly emails. So I wasn't upset with this person or her email. I was, though, disappointed because she didn't take me up on my offer to meet and talk in person about theology and what the Bible actually says about homosexuality. Because I wondered if she knew that the word homosexual did not appear in the Bible until 1946, meaning that for nearly 1900 years of Christian history, the word did not exist in Scripture. I wondered if she knew that her current pastor indeed is a homosexual. The email I received got me thinking about identity. The transition team and I have been talking a lot about identity. Who are we as a community? Not who were we, but who are we now? In transitional ministry, answering the question, who are we today, is the foundational step of congregational renewal. The task requires this church to conduct intentional self-assessment, unpack its history, and clarify its mission to discern where God is leading us before we call a new pastor. This question of identity is not new. This morning's gospel opens with John the Baptist sending messengers to Jesus to ask whether he is the long-awaited Messiah or should they be waiting for another person. For John to be asking this question is astonishing because, as you know, John's whole life existence was preparing the way for the Messiah. John, whose very conception occasioned an angelic visit. John, who leapt in his mother's womb at the first glimpse of pregnant Mary. John, who grew up with a prophetic expectation ringing in his ears. From an early age, he felt the exhilaration and the burden of his calling as the forerunner. He knew he was supposed to preach repentance to everyone who crossed his path. His calling took him into the wilderness where he dressed himself in camel skins and lived off of grasshoppers and wild honey. In due time, John the Baptist prepared the way of the Lord, baptized the Messiah with his own hands, and proclaimed the arrival of God's kingdom to anyone who would listen. And now he's sitting in prison, questioning not only the identity of Jesus, but what feels like a deeper question about his own identity, his own ministry, and his own understanding of himself and his proximity to Jesus. For John, the joy of ministry has become the burden of waiting. The one who prepared the way must now become a follower of the way. John is wondering not only if Jesus is who he says he is, but if Jesus is who he says he is, then why is John where he is? In prison, without the hope of liberation. See, the way John was preparing doesn't look like the way that Jesus is teaching. John was expecting a Messiah that would come with mighty power, fire, and with judgment. He was expecting a Messiah who would come, who could overthrow unjust leaders and systems in the religious and governmental sectors. He was expecting punishment for the wicked. But this Messiah, this anointed one, wasn't that. The way of Jesus focuses on healing, inclusion, love, and acceptance of the most vulnerable in our society. Jesus actively defied social and religious taboos to embrace the people who had been ostracized. By restoring the dignity of the rejected and welcoming them into community, Jesus modeled a kingdom where the outcasts were valued and centered. The Messiah John preached about isn't the same Messiah that seems to show up. John is asking these questions about Jesus' identity from a place of doubt because he finds himself behind prison walls. He is wondering if his suffering is in vain. Did he get it all wrong? See, John's faith is under pressure. If Jesus came to separate the wheat from the chaff, why is John, the wheat, in prison while the chaff moved freely without retribution? John is wondering if he misunderstood God and who is the Messiah. And if he has, who is John as the forerunner? Jesus responds to John's disciple in true Jesus fashion with an indirect reply. He offers John his work product as validation for who he is. He says, go and tell John what you hear and see. Tell John that the blind receive the sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleaned, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. Blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me. In other words, Jesus says, go back to John and tell him your stories. Tell him my stories. Tell him what your eyes have seen and your ears have heard. Tell him what the stories, quiet as they are, scattered as they are, questionable as they are, will reveal. Why? Because Jesus, who Jesus is not a pronouncement, not a sermon or a slogan or a billboard. Who Jesus is far more mysterious than we or John understand. The reality of Jesus is immersed in the lives of the plain, the poor, the ordinary people around him. Allow me to pause to say something about what Jesus said. When Jesus names people by their condition, he's not using what we call today ableist language. He doesn't devalue people because of their condition. He believes that they are beloved children of God. Jesus is not naming differently abled people as problems for God to fix. For too long, people have misused the Bible to perpetuate harmful rhetoric about people's abilities and conditions. So I want to say clearly, your body is not a mistake or in need of a miraculous healing. Anyone living with disability, whether it be visible or invisible, is not a mistake or a project in need of a miraculous healing. Jesus is naming social realities as he names these physical realities people are living with. These people are marginalized because of their condition. They're ostracized. They are excluded from social rights, from rituals, from personal economic development, from their communities. Jesus wants to restore them back into community and not simply correct some sort of perceived deficiency or erase differences. Jesus' restorative work is about dismantling exclusion. Most importantly, Jesus identifies himself by the impact he has had on the lives of the most vulnerable. The Messiah is most clearly understood and known by who he helps, not punishes, who he includes, not excludes, who he heals, not harms. He is the ancient prophecy that he has come to fulfill. Then Jesus clarifies, as he finishes, he clarifies John's identity to the crowd in order to clear up some confusion about who John is in proximity to him. John is not a weak man, but a man who has been steadfast in his faith and unbothered by others' opinion of him. We cannot discount the reality that faith in the wilderness looks different than faith in captivity. And John experienced both. John is the one who does not accommodate or appease the empire by speaking the words of those to those in power. He has courage to speak truth to power, and that lands him in prison and ultimately leads to his death. Jesus affirms John as more than a prophet. And even after naming John's identity, Jesus doubles down on the good news of the gospel for the marginalized when he states that the least of these in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John. One's identity in the kingdom of heaven is not about rank or title or family name. Identity in the kingdom of God is about belonging. John prepared the way and opened the door so that the historically marginalized could walk through. To identify Christ and to identify with Christ means aligning with who Christ aligns himself with. Claiming the name of Christ demands claiming Christ's people, the poor, the sick, the unjustly imprisoned, the marginalized, those whose bodies, social status, documentation status marks them disposable in the eyes of the rich and powerful. Our identity as Christian is shaped by knowing our worth through God's love and grace and not in our worldly accomplishments. The problem with identity is weaponization. Christian versus non-Christian, citizen versus non-citizen, gay versus straight, disabled versus able-bodied, worthy versus unworthy, legal versus illegal. God's kingdom does not care about citizenship, borders or abilities, sexual or gender identity. The kingdom of God is identifiable by radical welcome, belonging, and treating all of creation with inherent dignity and worth. Jesus does not ask the poor for bank statements, the blind for a diagnosis, or the marginalized to justify their existence before receiving healing and restoration. In a deeply human moment, John asks, "Are you the one?" Even the greatest prophet had doubts when his expectations didn't align with his circumstances. Jesus answered by pointing directly to his transformative power. See, the Jesus we read about in Scripture isn't the Messiah John imagined. And if we are honest with ourselves, the Jesus we have constructed in our image and imagination, the one who agrees with our politics and our hierarchies, our respectability, isn't always the one we find in the Bible. Jesus did not arrive with a sword of judgment over the marginalized. He saved that for the powerful and privileged. Jesus was a man of prayer who moved his body towards the suffering. Because of their suffering, they lived outside the community. Jesus came primarily to heal and restore these people back into community. He specifically said he had good news for the poor, the prisoner, the blind, the oppressed. So the question is not just who do we say Jesus is. The question is whether the Jesus we follow actually looks like the Jesus in Matthew 11. My second question for us today is, who do we say we are? As followers of Jesus and the way of Jesus, who are we as a faith community? Who do we serve? Who is blessed by our presence and our work? Who would God say we were if God looked at how we spent our time, money, and resources? And finally, who do we say belongs? Who do we identify as beloved? Who do we marginalize through overt exclusion or through exclusionary practices that we have yet to address within ourselves? See, belonging is not a feeling we extend when it's comfortable. Belonging is a practice we sustain when it costs us something. Jesus does not ask the poor for bank statements, the blind for a diagnosis, or the marginalized to justify their existence before receiving healing. He moves towards them. So the question for this congregation is whether our doors, our tables, our leadership, our budgets, our bodies reflect the same movement. Belonging is not a statement on a website. Belonging shows up and sits at the table. Belonging shows who sits at the table, who leads at the table, and who we protect when someone questions their belovedness and worthiness. How we answer these questions determine where we stand outside the kingdom of heaven, in the well-kept buildings of the private social clubs we call church, or inside it, living, claiming those who are beloved by Christ, the Messiah. John asks Jesus from a prison cell, "Are you the one?" And Jesus answered, "Look at who is being healed. Look who is being restored. Look who is receiving the good news." The kingdom of heaven is not identified by doctrine or tradition or gatekeepers. Those who understand the kingdom are identified by who it welcomes, who it protects, and who it refuses to leave standing alone. So, church, are we the ones? Are we who we say we are? Because the world is watching. The marginalized and vulnerable are watching. The neighbors are watching, and they are asking the same question John asked from behind the prison wall. Are you the one, or should we keep waiting for another? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, anchor our church in our true identity. Deepen our daily intimacy with Jesus. Empower us to boldly share the good news and open our eyes and hearts to actively serve and love. Open our eyes to the vulnerable, the broken, the oppressed in our town. Give us your heart of compassion to step out of our comfort zone and serve the marginalized, the poor, and the lonely. Equip us to be the hands and feet of Jesus, offering tangible help, grace, and dignity to those who need it most. In your many names we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
recipients of the generosity of God, let us share our generosity with each other and with the community. For the wondrous ways this offering will bless this community. For the ways it'll help us live out God's mission. Let these gifts strengthen our call to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly. Amen. Thank you. Okay, we're going off script. We're going to sing the first song again, because why not practice it? That's number 73, since it's new. I know, you thought you were going to get out of here early. Sorry. Thank you. these words. As we go from this place, let us look for God in unexpected places and in unexpected people. Let us love and serve our God by loving and serving those around us. Let us honor the most vulnerable and lift up the weak, rejoicing in God's presence among us. And may the grace of Christ, the love of the Creator, and the connecting power of the Holy Spirit accompany us always in our journeys. Amen.